the preacher preached on sin. First, he preached against gin, and everybody said, Amen. Then he worked on crap shooting, and everybody said, Amen. Then he began to berate wild women. A woman in the congregation said, Preacher, you has quit preaching and is starting to meddling. So, according to that woman, I guess, women living wild is not a sin. Johnny, do you know what we must do before our sins are forgiven? We have to sin first. That's not right either. Seems these two jokes illustrate a quite deficient understanding of just what sin is. A candidate studying to become a pastor made a statement that God could have, actually more easily, dealt with our sin by just simply forgiving it. But he chose the hard way, which required Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Why God decided on that particularly gruesome way is hard for us to understand. Perhaps we'll never really understand it, since he could have just pronounced our sin forgiven and be done with it. This ministry student revealed his completely flawed theology. He did not know who God is, nor who we are. His biblical knowledge was totally lacking. In short, this future pastor was not even a Christian. With leaders like that supposedly shepherding their people, is it any wonder why the vast bulk of Americans who claim to be Christians are anything but? They're probably mostly nice people, but nice doesn't cut anything. Don't expect to see them in heaven after they die. They will be among the masses of people to whom the Lord will regretfully say, Depart from me, I never knew you. Matthew 7:21-23. When asked what they think of the gory crucifixion, most will recoil at the thought, even cringe and blanch at the very sight of blood. To them, the whole idea of the necessity of blood sacrifice, on which rests the entire Old Testament system of worship to get right with God, is abhorrent, and thankfully no longer necessary after Christ Jesus' death on the cross. But it was necessary. God, who created us, is a holy God. He is infinity itself. He has no beginning nor end. He is existence itself. He created everything for his own pleasure and purposes. We can't possibly know everything about him. But he did make us so that we can know him with an empty space in our souls and spirits that needs to be filled and can only be filled by himself. We are not complete as living beings until his spirit lives within us. But near the beginning, when Adam and Eve were yet new in this world, the beguiling, brilliantly beautiful serpent confused them so that they violated the only thing that God had forbid them, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They ate, and for the first time for humanity, sin entered the world. There was no going back. They were now both felons, sinners. All their children were born in sin and were sinners themselves. Forever after, all humanity had lost its sinless, holy perfection and now groveled on the same level as Satan the serpent and all who had disobeyed God. There was only one remedy, and it was only temporary. God himself sacrificed two animals for them, the very first two deaths on humanity's earth, and Adam's and Eve's sin was covered temporarily. They had already lost their eternal spiritual life. They were living only physical lives now, unable forever to revive their spiritual life. Such was the gravity of their sin. The devil now thought he had forever thwarted God's plans for humanity. Now they'll eternally be under the devil's control. He could play with, torment, manipulate, finally destroy them, all for his diabolical pleasure. The die was cast. It was over. Humanity was kaput. The devil had won. At last, God was defeated, and the rebel angels could finally get their revenge on the God who had tormented them for their own abominable sins. Never in Satan's mind could he have ever imagined what God had in mind. Indeed, God is holy. God is perfect. Sin, any disobedience against God, no matter how seemingly trifling, is abject sin. It doesn't matter if it's just a white lie. Any breaking of God's law is a breaking of all of it. The ultimate consequence of any sin is the eternal death of separation from God. The penalty for even one slip up in anyone's life is eternal death. No ifs, ands, or buts. Adam and Eve were created to live forever. But when they ate that fruit, they experienced the first ever case of food poisoning, a case that shortened their lives from eternity to only 930. The only recourse for any sin was death. But since everyone has sinned and sins, at the very least in our thought life, multiple times a day, we each and every one of us have to die. We have no hope of life with God eternally as he intended for us in the beginning. But God had a plan. He always has plans, perfect plans. Since the only remedy for sin is death, and since everybody has sinned, then everyone would have to die. No more humanity. The only way out was to find a substitute to take the death penalty for us, someone who himself had never sinned. For if he had sinned, someone else would have to be found to die on his behalf in order that he himself could be saved. Lord Jesus never sinned, and he had to become a human, one of us, so that he could die in our place. Until this actually happened, no one in all creation could imagine how God would redeem humanity from its sin. God's solution was perfect, as everything God does is perfect. But the enormous cost, the cost was unimaginable to us. The death of the entire human race could not atone for our sin and continual sin. Only Christ Jesus could do it for us. And his suffering and excruciating death is a price only he could pay. His love for us is that much. None of us could ever love like that. That, my friends, is how much he loves us. Should we not therefore stand in awe and wonder, forever thanking him for his sacrifice for us? We can never take him for granted. We should rush to be at his beck and call, trying to make his worth worthwhile for even you and me. If we do anything less, do we really love him?